Whether said in jest or not, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni put it out there when he put out a tweet saying he urgently needed to raise more tax revenue and that decriminalizing cannabis could help accomplish that goal. And why not? India-based Zion Market Research found the global medical marijuana market was valued at $11.8 billion in 2017. It's expected to generate revenue of about $40.9 billion by the end of 2024, growing at a compound annual growth rate of about 19% between 2018 and 2024. So how much of a plug could this potentially be for an extremely large hole in the budget? Group CEO of JSE-listed Labatt Africa, Brian van Rooyen, joins us on the line now. Brian, thanks so much for your time this evening. So we're looking forward to the minister's plans to contain spending and bolster income in his annual budget speech on February the 26th. Do you see this cropping up? Should it crop up?
Indeed, Alicia, good evening to you and to the viewers. I think we would have enough money to sort out all the problems that I have encountered now getting to the studio in terms of load shedding and rain and traffic lights that's not working. So yes, indeed it is. We've obviously, from a Labatt perspective, has made massive strides, but I think the sooner government is working on accelerating legislation, relaxing of legislation following suit to what the Lesotho government has been doing, the quicker that rands and pounds and dollars will flow.
Yeah. In fact, we had consultancy firm Prohibition Partners highlighting that Africa's legal cannabis industry could generate more than $7.1 billion annually by 2023 if a number of the continent's major markets open up and mirror the kind of trends we've seen in the US and Canada as well. As an investment group that now has cannabis within its portfolio, what growth are you seeing in the markets that you're exposed to?
You know, we've obviously have three segments in our growth market in the healthcare sector within Labatt. The one is the growth, the botanicals, which is where it is the only country where it's really legal from a open commercial offtake point of view, and that's in Lesotho. We've got our license. We're in the process of setting up that operation. But the big entity right now is our pharmaceutical SAPRA-approved facility in KwaZulu-Natal, where we're in production as we speak. We started off 3 days ago with our range of products containing various blends and mixtures and formulations of CBD extract with a whole lot of other supplements. The market is, we're scratching the surface when we talked about our profitability in the next 2 or 3 years. We're not even looking at 0.01% of the market, but the big market in South Africa is obviously the hemp industry. Yeah. The hemp industry, where we're talking about land reform, land redistribution, job creation, hemp production in South Africa. We're talking about 3 to 4 full-time direct jobs in the hemp industry, and that's a huge industry. We've got no hemp processing facility in South Africa, and that's where we believe the big opportunity is within our country.
Okay, so we're looking at actual trade, opening up here. That's where the benefit is to be derived at the end of the day. So how do we get there? How do we get market ready for this? Is this as simple as a policy agenda coming to the fore?
I think it is as simple as that. If you look at what happened with pharmaceutical group GW Pharmaceuticals, which has just published its fourth quarter results, it's a UK-based pharmaceutical group. The first product release from a pharmaceutical point of view that contained THC is Epidiolex for epilepsy. They have had, in the first year of launching the product, and by the way, that's the only product in the world that is currently a registered product from a pharmaceutical point of view, Epidiolex, they have raked in $300 million on one product.
Wow.
on one product. Now, all those things have to be gone through in the South African setup, both from a regulatory perspective and also from a perspective of, in South Africa, both parts of cannabis, marijuana as well as hemp, is still classified as Schedule 7 drugs. So you have to have special permission.
Yeah.
There is exemptions and so on. And people are taking legally advantage of the exemptions, but some people are taking a huge risk on illegally sending products out in the market. We don't know where those products are coming from.
One assumes that when this policy agenda is drawn up, you'd have to be very conscious about barriers to entry as well. If we really want to broaden agricultural activity, for one, in the space, let's use your presence in Lesotho as a bit of a case study here, Brian. How competitive a landscape are we looking at? Because, you know, access to licenses and the cost of accessing those licenses has propped up, in some instances, quite big hurdles.
Not quite. If you look at Lesotho, you can, I have had, since we've announced our entry into the cannabis market September, October last year, we must have had about 200 people approaching us with licenses ranging from 1 million rand to 5 million rand. So that's not really the issue. The issue is the regulatory aspect. Licenses is fine. I mean, in South Africa at the moment, there must be more than 100 hemp licenses being issued. There's not one single hemp processing facility in South Africa. So what are those people that have got those hemp licenses producing?
Yeah. Well,
that's the main issue. But if, the sooner we can move on regulation and getting and opening up the market, the sooner we will have the funds to plug the holes in South Africa.
We'll definitely be following the kind of developments we see unfold on this front. Thanks so much, Brian, for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Group CEO of Labatt Africa, Brian van Rooyen.